This week we're looking at the science of salt and how it affects us and the plants we eat. But fundamental to the health of both is a supply of fresh water, and in many countries that is in short supply. One approach is the desalination of seawater, but this is a very energy-hungry process, so are there better ways of doing it? Noureddin Ghaffour at KALST in Saudi Arabia is working on some of them, and we sat chatting in his office admiring the view over the university campus.
So here we are in a very special place, which is KALST, and you can see it's quite green, but this is through irrigation. There is no rain.
If I just go outside the walls of this campus, it's pretty much desert, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, but this is the winter season. If you come to this in the summer, then it is much, much drier than this one.
I mean, this whole campus has got fountains, it's got water features, and as you say, very, very green. Lots of trees and plants. Where's the water for that coming from?
This water comes from desalination plant. A desalination plant means we are making fresh water from seawater. And here, as you can see, we are in front of red seawater.
And the Red Sea. I mean, we should be clear, there's not Red Sea water. It is the Red Sea we're looking at. It's very salty.
It's very salty.
How do you deal with the rhyme of the ancient mariner, water, water everywhere, not a drop to drink? How are you solving this?
Yes, that is the main issue here. And from that concept, water desalination technologies have been developed. So the reverse osmosis concept is using a membrane. It's a semi-permeable membrane, but very fine, very small pores to the point there is no pore. And we try to push seawater from one side of the membrane, but this membrane is very smart and allows only fresh water to pass through its pores or the structure of the membrane.
So the water molecules can slip through, but the salt particles are kept on the other side. They can't get through.
That's the situation. But in order to do this, we need to overcome what we call the osmotic pressure. What is the osmotic pressure? Each seawater has its own osmotic pressure depending on the concentration of salt. For example, here in the Red Sea, the osmotic pressure is 30 bars. So we need pressure to pressurize seawater much above 30 bars in order to get this fresh water from the other side.
So in other words, if you've got very, very concentrated, strong salt solution, that's trying to pull water into it. So you've got to push the water really hard through the membrane and keep that push on. Otherwise, the water would just come back into the salt.
That's what makes this process very energy intensive. Just to give you an example, to produce 1 cubic meter of fresh water from Red Sea, we need 4 kilowatt hours. It's something like 50 elephants pulling something.
Tell us about some of the new things that you are trying to develop here to surmount some of these problems.
What we are developing now is to be as close as possible to nature. For example, our body is full of membranes, and we call those forward osmosis membranes. So by nature, if you put that membrane and you put 2 liquids from both sides of the membrane, one liquid is fresh water, the other liquid is salty water, you do nothing, no pressure, no temperature, nothing. By nature, the liquid of the low concentration starts to move towards the salty place. This is by nature. We don't push anything.
That's just straightforward osmosis, yeah. Isn't it?
So what we have as a concept, in any place we need water, we have a lot of wastewater because we are using that water, then we throw it. So we put wastewater in one side of the membrane. On the other side, we put our seawater. So according to what I explained, what will happen? The dirty water, which is the wastewater, we start moving towards seawater. But this membrane allows only fresh water to pass. I mean, clean water to pass. All the dirty bacteria and this suspended salt will not pass. So at the end, what we get? What do you think we get? We are diluting seawater, right? Because of that process, we are diluting seawater. Diluting seawater makes our feed for reverse osmosis very energy efficient. Why?
I get it, because you're now getting rid of proportionally much less salt.
And this will reduce the energy consumption significantly. So if you have diluted seawater, which is something equivalent to brackish water, let's say, then the energy required for reverse osmosis is much, much less, half or even maybe less.
Other techniques that you're developing?
Adsorption desalination. So it's a thermal-based, but it's a new process. We are using an adsorbent, like silica gel. It's a sand. If you put everything under a vacuum environment, the silica gel or the adsorbent will absorb water vapor from the sea. Seawater flows into an evaporator, at its ambient temperature, ambient pressure, nothing to do. And that evaporator is connected to beds filled with adsorbents. As an example, silicate gel. By nature, the silicate gel will create vacuum because silicate gel by nature will adsorb. Means we will suck water vapor from that seawater. And then when these adsorbents are saturated with vapor, we heat the silicate gel using solar energy because we need 50 to 60 degrees centigrade. And when the vapor is released from the silicate gel, it goes into a condenser and just condense it. And with this, we are producing very high quality water.
In a nutshell, then, the water's pulled out of the ocean, goes into a chamber where it just naturally evaporates because connected to that chamber is a very dry bed of silica, which is sand, effectively. And that's pulling vapor out of the air and putting the pressure down. So more water wants to evaporate, but the only thing that's going to evaporate is fresh water. You're then using energy from the sun to bake that water-saturated silica, drive off the water it's absorbed, releasing water that's fresh, clean, that you can condense and use, but then you recycle the silica back to start the process again. So when I do the energy calculations for this, how much energy are you saving?
So with this, we are saving more than 50% of the energy compared to reverse osmosis.
Which is very good news, isn't it? That was Noureddine Ghaffour from KAUST,